All right, so today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. It's a long one, so stay with me. You can follow along in your bulletin or on the screen above. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Matt said, August is our birthday month as a church. We will be 2 years old. We're celebrating on Sunday, August 25th, so be here. We will have cake and balloons. It'll be a grand old time. Like some of you, though, who celebrate, who celebrate your birthday all month long. You have a birth month. We are also going to take a few weeks before our official birthday and really focus on who we are as a church and where God is taking us and really how you can be a part. And we're calling it our church vision series, very creative name. And, I'll just say as well, if you're a guest here, newer to our church, really you couldn't have picked a better time to be here, really because you're going to get to see what we as a church are all about. We have a mission statement as a church. Which is this, and I have actually, believe it or not, I have never preached on or talked about our mission statement in 2 years, so I'm finally getting to it. I'm like a terrible leader. But our mission statement will kind of frame our talks over these next few weeks. So it is that we exist to invite neighbors to find identity, which is such a big concept in our world. Where do we get our identity from? We want to exist to invite neighbors to find identity in Jesus Christ by becoming a member of God's family, a follower of Jesus, and a servant of the city. And so today we're going to talk about church membership and being a member of God's family. And you know what? I'm actually just going to, from the get-go, I'm going to give you the thesis of my talk up front. Many times I save the punchline for the end. Well, today I'm just going to give it to you, okay? And my big idea is pretty simple, and it's this. It is that if you are here today and you are a Christian, which, time out really quick. First off, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'll just say you should become a Christian. It is the best life imaginable. It is the most fulfilling life, rewarding life, and abundant life. It leads to eternal life. It is how we can be made whole and made right with God. More on that later, okay? But if you're here and you are a Christian, my thesis is this. You need to join a church. Okay, more than that, you need to make joining a church and church membership one of the primary commitments of your life. Okay, what I mean by that is like when you move away from here, which most of you will do, okay? We are in a transient culture as it is, and downtown is a very transient place. I'm under no impression any of you will be here longer than I will be here. Prove me wrong, right? But but when you move, what I'm saying today is that when you move from here, when you leave our church, if you're a member here at our church already, I want to convince you today that finding a healthy church, and more than that, joining yourself to a healthy church, should be one of the top priorities for your life. Like right up there with finding a good house to live in and finding a safe school for your kids and finding a good job to work in. My big idea is you need to join and commit to a church here and now and for the rest of your journey in this earthly life. So church membership, okay? What is it? Okay, and I just want to start by looking at the phrase church membership. It's a compound word, okay? That means it's made up of two words. And I think that the underlying idea behind church membership is oftentimes very misunderstood in our culture because the two words that make up the compound word are also severely misunderstood, church and membership. So first off, okay, when you hear the word church, okay, think for a second. What do you think of? Well, I will tell you what I still think of, all right? I still think church building, church a place you go, church an event that you go on Sunday. It's the churches that I saw on the road, on my street growing up as a kid. And this concept of the church, I believe, is a thing because our English word, I don't know if you know this, but our English word church actually comes from the German word for chapel, which is Kirche. It indicates a chapel, a physical structure, like a place we go and listen to singing and teaching, and we see some people that we like, and we see other people that we don't really like. We try to avoid them, and then we have lunch after church. And that, though, I would suggest to you, is not the biblical idea at all of what the Bible means when it speaks of church. See, in the Bible, and in our reading, for example, today, when it says church, the Greek word in which it's translated from is the word ekklesia, and it means a gathering of people. It literally means called out ones. Okay, it doesn't mean a building or a chapel that you go, because in the New Testament era as well, for the first few hundred years of Christianity, they didn't have their own buildings or chapels. They met in homes and in public places like Solomon's Colonnade, or maybe they even met, I like to think, in a hotel conference room like we are this morning. See, the Bible speaks of the church as a gathering of people who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so when you join a church, it is not at all like joining a country club or a public library or even just committing to attend a service. You are committing yourself to a group of people, the local gathering of Jesus followers, who have also been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, real quick, all right? Okay, we're going to get into the Bible in a second, but before that, all right, the second word in that compound word, church membership, is membership, right? And the biblical idea of membership is also, I would say, very misunderstood because when we think of a member, you know what we think of? Costco. And rightly so. I mean, I love Costco. I've been longing to get one of those Kirkland signature shirts, honestly. One of my life mantras is if you can buy it at Costco, buy it at Costco, okay? I have bought tires and couches and vacations, our honeymoon, from Costco. On our honeymoon in Hawaii, I found out that there was a Costco within 30 minutes, and I said, Shay, we have to check this out, okay? I love Costco. Now, here's the thing, though. When you think about being a member at Costco or Sam's or anything like that, for example, what do you think of? You think of what you can get out of your membership, like instant savings and free samples, right? And God bless them for that. However, the word member, it is actually a biblical idea. It comes right from our text today, 1 Corinthians 12. And the Greek word for member is melos, which is translated literally as limb or part of the body. See, instead of membership being this contractual agreement, God speaks of it here through Paul as an organic give and take relationship where we are vitally interconnected to one another. See, this is exactly what Paul lays out for us in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're about to get into that. But, you know, before we do, let me just speak to a few common objections that people in our culture often raise towards the idea of church membership. Again, we live in a very individualistic culture. Even now, like, I can feel the room a little bit. Some of you guys are like, really, like, why are we talking about this today? Which is really the first objection, okay? I feel good preparing for this because I get that sense from you, right? The first question many people have is like, why are we talking about this? Church membership, is it really that important? I mean, come on, why don't we talk about something way more important? Let's talk about the gospel, for example. Let's just preach the gospel. Why a whole sermon, John, really, on church membership? Well, first off, okay, let me just say, I love your zeal for the gospel. It's beautiful. Christ crucified, that is what we want to know. We strive to be, we say here, one of our values is gospel-centered. We want to be gospel-centered people. But allow me to just point out, really quick, that church membership is a direct result and outgrowth of the gospel. See, the gospel, for those who aren't familiar with it, is the message, it's the heart of our faith. It's the message of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done to save us and redeem us, right? The gospel is that we are by nature fallen sinners who live in separation from God. We are all guilty and deserving of death and nothing good from God. We were separated from God. But the good news of the gospel is that God didn't leave us in our sin and rebellion, right? He sent Jesus, his son, to be born a man so that he could show us how much God loves us and so that Jesus could ultimately lay down his life as our substitute to die in our place at the cross of Calvary. And so now through faith in Christ, we can all receive grace and forgiveness and our sins can be forgiven by God again. And the gospel reconciles us and gives us peace with God, but the gospel also reconciles us and gives us peace with one another, especially fellow believers in the gospel. It restores, you see this, our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationships with other people, because both relationships were severed in the fall of humanity. Right? If you know the story in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, you know, ultimately they were banished from God's presence and separated with God. Flip over one chapter. What happens in Genesis 4, the very next thing? It's the story of Cain and Abel, where the first murder takes place, where mankind is now separated from God and at enmity with each other. See, the gospel of Jesus restores us both to God and to his people. And that's what we model, again, in the passing of the peace every single week. We say we have peace with God so we can now have peace with one another. It's because the gospel forms a new humanity, a new community of people who are found in Christ. Now, the other objection, I'm almost done with my intro. All right, stick with me. Well, many of you are not laughing at that this morning. the other objection many people raise towards church membership is this. It's like, why do I need to join a church if I have a personal relationship with Jesus? Like, isn't salvation ultimately between me and God? Like, I ask Jesus into my heart, and I have a personal relationship with him, and so why do I need the church to factor into that? Listen, maybe you are here today and you've truly had some negative experiences with the church community and you say, well, I love Jesus, but not really the church. Well, first off, I would say to you, like, read your New Testament of the Bible, the story of the early church. You will not come upon any concept whatsoever of a solo Christian in Scripture, a Christian who is disconnected from the church body. You will, however, and many of you know people like this, you will meet many people like that today who don't take part in a church at all, or maybe they do so anonymously or just every once in a while, right? But that solo Christian experience is really just the product of our highly individualistic culture. Because there is indeed a giant corporate aspect of being a Christian in following Jesus, surrounded by and alongside a church community. Our faith, guys, is supposed to be personal with God, yes, but also corporate. You know, our own membership covenant, we have a membership covenant here, and it says this: when anyone enters a relationship with God by grace through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, they are entering into not one but two covenants. First, yes, to journey with God for the rest of their lives and to love him fully, but two, to journey with his other children in the community of a local church. And so what I'm saying is this. Listen, church membership is an important gospel issue because there is a big corporate aspect of following Jesus in this world. And for more of that, let's finally look at just one of the biblical metaphors in the Bible for church membership. And this is given to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. This is his analogy comparing the church to a physical body. right? And I just want to pull out quickly five implications from this text for how we are to be the church, all right? First off, is that he tells us that we are many, yet we are one, right? That's the analogy in verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Right? Think with me of your physical body, right? Now you are, you know, hopefully, one united person in your physical body, right? However, you have, and med students in the room or doctors in the room, correct me if I'm wrong here, you have, from what Google tells me, over 200 different bones, like around 600 different muscles. Your body is made up of some 30 trillion cells, yet all of that is working in unison to make you a whole person. Well, Paul says, similarly, we all make up the body of Christ. We are each individual parts of it. Now, that's why the church is meant to be a diverse kind of people, made up of different kinds of people, people who some of you like would never maybe be seen together or would never meet together out in the world, but you're here together simply because we are the church. You know, and if you look at church history, the early church was so unique in that it was the only place really in the first century where you would see a Jewish person and a Greek person hanging out together. It was the only place where you would see a rich person and a poor person sharing the same table together. Because in the first century, classism and racism were even beyond anything we know in our culture today. And these kinds of people wouldn't have been seen together in that time, except they were in the church. And that's because of the common bond we share in Christ, which is an identity that really supersedes every other identity marker in this world. It fuses us together, even if our bond in Jesus Christ is the only thing we have in common with one another. Right, just as verse 13 says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." You know, when we trust in Christ and become a Christian, we are baptized and filled with the same Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you also. See, the church, that's why the church is to be made up of baptized believers. This is why in order to become a member of our church, you must be a Christian. You must have accepted Christ and been baptized by the Spirit. Right? This might sound like maybe we're excluding people from church membership here, but it isn't, right? Everyone is welcome here this morning. Everyone is welcome at our church. But it just wouldn't make sense for someone to be a member of a church, the body of Christ, unless you belong to Christ and have been filled with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So being baptized into Christ's body happens in two ways. First, spiritually. When you surrender your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus and takes up residence inside of you. And then this is demonstrated physically through water baptism. And again, this is why in order to be a member of our church, you must be or have been water baptized after you believed. And so while we are many, while we come from many different backgrounds and cultures, we are made one in Christ, fused together as hands and feet and ears and noses as the body of Christ. And the second implication then from that is this, is that we must fight against individualism here. Right? Think of an organ transplant, and again, I'm really nervous talking about medical stuff in this room because there's so many medical people. But if you ever have a liver or heart transplant, you know, sometimes I believe the most critical step in that process is oftentimes not even the surgery itself, but it's what happens after the surgery, whether your body will accept or reject the replaced organ from the outside after it has been placed in your body. See, your body and that now connected alien organ can often fight against one another and reject one another. And in my experience, there could be a similar struggle within the church body, especially in our culture. It's the thinking of, do I really need the church community? You know, and Paul actually speaks directly to this, I think, foreseeing our culture today. In verse 21, he says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you." Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Like I don't need to be deeply connected in the church community. You know, maybe again, you think, well, I have a personal, like a really great personal relationship with God. I have preachers and teachers on my podcast app. I even go to conferences. Yes, I even attend church from time to time. Me and God are good, but the church, really, do I need it? Right, if this is you, can I just stop and pause and ask you a question? Right, have you ever stopped and thought, especially if all of these things are true about like your relationship with God, even if you don't need us, like maybe we need you? Like maybe we need your experience and your background and your perspective and your giftedness and your diversity to help us in this church make up a fuller picture of Jesus Christ to represent him to our community. Have you ever thought of that? That even if you don't need us, like we might be a little bit handicapped by your hesitation to fully lean in here. And to that you might say, well, come on. I mean, like I'm not even that gifted. I couldn't be that important to the church community. And to that, not I, but the Apostle Paul would give you this next implication, which is that no one is insignificant here. Right, Paul says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, is it not for that reason any less a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, is it not for that reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, many commentators believe, and you could just get this by reading Corinthians, is that the church in Corinth was actually really, really full of division, people warring against one another, right? Right, read through the book, you'll see they had all sorts of problems. It actually makes me really grateful to pastor the church at Channelside, not the church at Corinth. Seriously, you guys are great. But what Paul is addressing here is that the church in Corinth had elevated some people, you know, those with specific gifts and talents, and they looked down upon others. For example, they treated rich people who maybe could contribute more to their church really highly, and they treated poor people differently. Or another example from the book is that, you know, they exalted those with specific giftings like prophecy and teaching and the gift of tongues, and they disgraced those who were not similarly gifted. And so this disparity in the church at Corinth made some feel less than, while others thought, man, the church is just lucky to have me. Some felt insignificant. Like, what can I contribute to the church, really? And my guess is that maybe some of you feel like that today. Like, you know, John, I'm not really, like, cut out to lead a Bible study or teach a class. I'm not, like, musically talented. You don't want me up here singing or anything like that. And you come in here and you feel just insignificant. You know, you might think, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm just a stinky foot. Nobody likes feet. Nobody likes feet. I'm not an eye, like all complex, right? Right, I'm just an ear. No one compliments ears, like what pretty ears you have. No, nobody says that. No, John, the church doesn't need me. Well, not so fast, right? Paul says, just because you can't sing like angels, maybe, or preach like Billy Graham, there is still a place for you. We need you is what he says and what I say. We need you for exactly who you are and for exactly what you bring to the table, which, hear this, like beyond anything you can do for our church is simply the gift of your presence in our community. Right? Because as he says in verse 18, but as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Right, imagine a body like made up of a bunch of eyes. It's weird. Or a body made up of just a bunch of ears, right? This sounds like something you would see in the Dali Museum over in St. Pete. Like it's intriguing, but it's a bit like grotesque and not at all practical. No, just as God created your physical body to work in harmony with the other parts of your body, he has arranged the church this way as well. And if you feel insignificant here, or maybe a little bit like less honorable in our church, you know, compared to others, be encouraged by verse 22 through 25. I want to read this again because this is so important. He says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. See, only in eternity will you learn of your true impact and your importance, especially here in this church. Right? You may have no idea how much of an impact you make, just your mere presence, your mere conversations make with someone else in the church community. You know, there's a really powerful example of this in a story from the Inklings in 20th century London. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Inklings. It was a group of writers who met together at Oxford College, a group of friends made up of C.S. Lewis from Chronicles of Narnia fame, and J.R.R. Tolkien was part of the Inklings, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, several others. And, you know, one member of the group, Charles Williams, he died suddenly. And C.S. Lewis actually wrote a reflection on his friend's death entitled Friendship. And in it, he says this. It's so good. He says, "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. Like, by myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles Williams is dead, I shall never again see Ronald Tolkien's reaction to a specifically Charles joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald." See, what he is saying is that community helps us to truly know one another. And this is exactly what Paul is getting at in this entire analogy of us being the body of Christ. Right, if you're here today and you say, "Listen, I want to know Jesus better," you won't be able to do that all by yourself. How you can truly get to know Jesus better is through his body, his community, the church. And again, this is why as Christians we are to be deeply involved in a Christian community with strong relationships of love and accountability in which we bring out the best in one another and where we each individually come to look like Jesus Christ. Right, the fourth thing is just we are interdependent here. Paul writes in verse 26, "So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." See, that's how deep church membership should be. Like, we should be so concerned with one another. We should come to care for each other so deeply that when we hear that so-and-so's mom passed away, it leads us to grieve. It affects us all emotionally. Right, when we hear that so-and-so in our church community got a promotion, we should genuinely rejoice inside. Right, do you react like that when you hear about things going on with other people in the church? If you don't, I would just say, and I believe we do, we have a lot of work to do here. Our interdependence and our connectedness should be you know, forged through formal means, like we meet together on Sunday mornings, we meet in groups and discipleship groups, and we serve together, but it should go way beyond that through informal meals that we share with one another and meetups that we have, and then time just naturally spent with each other as a family. We are interdependent here. And then finally, beyond our interdependence with one another, we should all look to serve one another. That's the final thing. We must all be involved here. You know, Paul closes with this. I'll just read it again for us in verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, and then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way." See, this is just one of several spiritual gifts lists that Paul gives us in the New Testament. And really, I believe that none of them are comprehensive, but rather, especially his rhetorical reasoning, the point of it is that we are all gifted differently. We all have a part to play, because when Jesus Christ ascended, he distributed gifts to the body of Christ, the members of the church, and we must take inventory of whatever gifting we have and use it to serve one another. Right? Paul mentions here those gifted to teach, and even spiritual gifts like healings and miracles and speaking in tongues, which I know all of you want me to get into today, but I'm actually, because of time, I'm not going to be able to get into that. But preview, all right, commercial for you. We are doing an entire series on the Holy Spirit, and we'll spend an entire week talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in October. So stay with us until then, okay? But, you know, he also mentions, you know, those with gifts of helping and leading. And then, you know, look again at verse 31. He says, "And I will show you an even better way." And what is that? It's love. And why I say that is because 1 Corinthians 13, the very next verse, is the love chapter in the Bible. You oftentimes hear it at like weddings and stuff like that. But look, it is in the context of Paul talking about the church community loving one another. Why? It is because love is more important. It is the most important way we all serve one another. We are to love one another, and that is the most important thing we can do. So, okay, before we're done, I just want to give you a few really direct applications, okay? Just three, okay? And I'm going to move through them. The first one is not going to be a surprise. It is application number one, join a church. If you're a Christian, again, join a church. If you're not a Christian, become a Christian. And when you truly do, you will desire to link arms with other Christians in a church. Because again, especially in our secular culture, in order to remain faithful as a Jesus follower, you must be deeply involved in a church, and that is expressed through church membership. It is again committing to be interdependent with the church body on Sundays when we gather and outside of Sundays during the week in formal and informal ways. Now, real quick, okay, notice that I did not say join our church, right? That is not the application here. It is join a church. If it's ours, great. But for some people, even some of you in here today, our church might not be the best fit for you. And that's okay. Okay, we need, in a great, like, gospel preaching city, we need many unique expressions of Christian community. We are not a business in competition with other churches. No, there are many great churches in Tampa, and you should be prayerful and selective about which church you join, and honestly, another community might be a better fit for you, okay? And I'm not at all saying to think of church like a consumer, right? Like, which church has the best music and the best preaching and the best branding? That is not what I'm saying. However, you may relate to the unique contextual expression of Christian community more so there than you do here. Okay? The truth, though, is that you will never find a perfect church, because the joke is, if you do, whatever you do, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore because you're there. All right? The point is, stop dating the church, okay? Even if you're like already involved and committed here, make it official. Get married, right? That's like what joining a church is. It is a covenant, just like a marriage covenant. That's why we have a church covenant. Not to make you legally bound to this church, but to express your commitment to this community. And if you don't want to commit here, I will help you and refer you to other churches in the area where you can commit to elsewhere. Right, a really easy example of this is that, you know, if you live really far from here, you know, maybe, and I'm not saying if you don't like live around here, you know, don't come to this church or don't be a member here, that's not what I'm saying. There are several members here who live a little ways around or away from here, and that's fine. But if distance between where you live and where our church is becomes an obstacle for you getting deeply involved here, you may need to find a church closer to home. And I've actually been talking with several of our members who have moved or maybe live a really far time away, who need to root down in a church closer to home for practical reasons. Now, if you decide this is the church community you want to join, we do have a simple process for that. And honestly, we haven't been very upfront about it, and that's my fault entirely, okay? And it isn't because we're hiding it or we don't want people to become members or we're trying to keep people out. Honestly, I just forget to talk about it many times and forget to say, hey, do you want to be a member? But it is important, and it is especially helpful. This is one of the big things about membership. It's really helpful for me to know who wants to be pastored here. who essentially raises their hand and says, yes, I want to be a part of this local community. Because again, as transient as we are, like without it, I would have a hard time knowing who is in and who is out here. And so the first step in our membership process is simply attending Connect Class, which is the third Sunday of every month. It's happening next week, believe it or not. So join us for that Connect Class next week. If you can't make it and you don't want to wait until next month, you're like, I want to become a member right now, email me. I will do a personal Connect Class for you this week maybe, okay? Now, the next step is filling out a membership application, which is really just for me to get to know a little bit of your story, because the third step is a meeting with me over coffee or lunch, which is not very exciting and should not be intimidating, but it's just where I'll get to know you a little bit, hear how God's worked in your life, and then you'll have the opportunity to commit to our church through our membership covenant, which must be signed in blood. Just kidding. Just kidding. It doesn't. Strike that from the record. It is simply, our membership covenant is simply a mutual agreement of what we make to one another about what being a member means. It is what we as a church want for you and what we ask you to contribute to our community, right? And that leads to the second application. So join a church and then serve your gift or serve whatever gift that God has given you, right? And that's a major point of Paul's writing this. We need, first and foremost, we need your presence, but beyond that, we do need you to contribute as an indispensable member of the body. And if like you don't know where that is or like where you're gifted or how you can help, we will help you figure that out, okay? Trust me, Lily will help you figure that out. We are interdependent, right? This isn't Costco, as great as Costco is, God bless them. Right, while you should get something from being at this church, from being a member here, like biblical teaching and love and accountability and belonging and a community in which you experience God, this is also about what you can contribute to the body as much as it is what you get from it. You need us, and we need you to serve whatever gifting God has given you to contribute to his local body. So join a church, serve your gift, and then finally, show the world. That's the last application, okay? Let's show the world together who Jesus is. Because at the end of the day, friends, this is what church membership is all about. You know, when we come together as a loving community of Jesus followers who have been reconciled to God and to one another, we put Jesus on display to the watching world. Right? That is exactly what Jesus said in talking to his disciples in John 13:34. He said, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Friends, people will know you belong to Jesus, not by how great of a solo Christian you are, but by how deeply rooted into a loving Christian community you are. As pastor and theologian Francis Schaeffer said, our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. He said, Christian community is our final apologetic. See, this church, like when it is all that God has designed and called for it to be, this church is in itself an evangelistic enterprise that demonstrates the love of God to Channelside and the watching world when they walk in and they see how we love one another. Right? And if you're missing, it's almost like a piece of the puzzle is missing. Right? And the full picture of Jesus will be hard to make out until all the pieces come together. But when they do, man, people will step back and go, wow. So that's who Jesus is. Like, wow. So that's what Christianity is all about. And actually, believe it or not, like we have a lot to do here. We have a lot of ways to grow. But it has happened a few times here. You know, one of my favorite things is when like a hotel worker walks in on a Sunday morning, or maybe somebody traveling through comes to church and says, man, you guys just really seem to love each other in this church. You guys just like really seem to like being together on a Sunday morning. Listen, when the passing of the peace goes longer and longer every single week, I'm totally fine with it, okay? Because we show the world we are his by how we love one another. But again, true love requires commitment, that we commit to each other and say, in the ups and downs, when it's easy and when it's hard, because church membership is both of those things, I'm going to stick through it because I love you. Right? That's what Paul says. Let me show you a better way how we can get through this together, and it is through love. Would you pray with me? Well, Father, we ultimately thank you for sending Jesus to reconcile us to you, to lay down his life for us and for our sins because we were separated from you because of our own rebellion, God. Lord, we are grateful that we didn't deserve any of that. We didn't deserve to be reconciled and brought near to you again, but Father, you sent Christ to do that for us as we trust in you. And Father, I thank you that an outgrowth of that is really this community that's here this morning. It's these people who love one another and care for one another, this new community that the gospel forms. And I really do pray, God, for everyone in this room, for many who are already members here and already serving here, would they be encouraged today? Lord, for many who are maybe thinking about membership or maybe leaning back and maybe they're encouraged to lean in today, Father, Lord, I pray for them. Would you draw them to yourself through the local church? And even for those who are here, maybe they're passing through or maybe this isn't the church for them, God, would you help them to get connected to a church body so that they can ultimately come to know you more in community? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.